Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And today's daf begins the second chapter of Masechet Yoma. And we continue with discussing the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. This is the first service of the morning. The Kohen would take a silver pan, and go up to the top of the Mizbeach, go up the ramp to the top of the altar, move the coals this way and that way, and take from the depths of the fire the coal that is fully, you know, worked through, fully consumed, come down the ramp, go to the east of the ramp about 10 amos or so, about 15 feet or 20 feet, pile up the coals on the floor, away from the ramp, three tefachim away from the ramp. And that's called the Trumas Hadeshen, and there would be a miracle where the floor would swallow the coals. So again, there's the first mitzvah of the day, the first act of service, is to go up onto the Mizbeach, go up onto the ramp, and to take off some of the coals, which are the residue of the carbon that burnt through the whole night on the Mizbeach. So who gets to do it? You have a whole Beis Av, a whole group of Kohanim. Who gets to do it? Says the Mishnah Barishon originally, Kol mi shirotzo litrum asam mizbeach torah. Anyone who wanted to do it, we'd be the one to do it, that the Trumas Hadeshen would be open. And any Kohen who wanted to do it, he'd be the one to do it. It was Manchem Erubin, when you had multiple Kohanim who were interested in doing it. But then there would be a race. Ratzin, they would run. Ba'ulin ba'kevesh, and they would go up the ramp. Kolakodem es chaver ba'arba amos. Whomever was before his friend in that, we'll see, in the last four amos, whomever got into the last four amos next to the mizbeach at the top of the ramp first, zacha, he was the one who had earned it. He was the one who had merited to have the privilege. Imayush name shavim. Let's say there are two people both getting into the four amos at the same time. They're at equal finish. Then Amamuna Omerlehen, the one in charge, would then say, okay, you're both there, so now a lottery. Because a lottery is called a pious. Pious is from the word pious, to make somebody feel better. Okay, they took it from the Mishnah, Mifala Pious. So when you have a throwing of a lottery, throwing dice, sort of a by chance determination, nobody can be upset. That should hopefully solve it. It's not that this guy was showing favorites, but choosing one over the other. It's pious, it's a lottery. Now, if they're both equal, then again, the one in charge would say, okay, put out your fingers. That's how they did the lottery. The way they did the lottery, so let's say there were five people that all made it to the top of the ramp at once. Say, oh, each of you put out your fingers. Go in a circle, each of you put out a finger. And then the one in charge would choose a number, which was way more than five, maybe 15. And then he would say, okay, my number is 15. I'll take the hat off of one of them. Start counting from that guy. So you're one, this is finger one, the finger next to you is two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. He gets to 15, he stops. You're the one who won the rights. Umayin Motzin, when they would be told to put out a finger for the pious, for the lottery, what would they put out? Achas Ostein, they'd either put out, let's say, the index finger, or maybe two fingers, the index finger, together with the middle finger. If the index finger was trembling, it couldn't stand on its own, you need another finger to support it. But in the temple, they would not be allowed to put out the thumb, because the thumb is quite far from the index finger. And if somebody can put out the thumb and the index finger, so then if he sees that the count is about to end, it's one off, he might put out the thumb to have that counted as one, and then have his index finger out too, so he'll be counted twice, and he will illicitly get the position. All right, again, originally, anyone who wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshen would do it. If there were multiple people who wanted to do it, there was a race. And if the race ended with a tie, so then there was a lottery. However, there was a story, Shayushneim Shav, there was in fact two people who wanted to do it, and they were both running up the ramp, and both of them were getting there at the same time. Viratz and Volun Bekevesh, they were running and ascending up the ramp. So one of them, in the heat of the competition, he pushed his friend. V'dachaf echad mehenes chavero. So one pushed his friend. Now remember, the ramp is going up 11 amos in height. There's no barriers on the sides of the ramp. There's no maka. There's no fence. It's the kevesh. 11 amos at the least is an amos is at least a foot and a half, according to Rav Chaim Noah. According to the Chazon Ish, an amos is 1.9 feet. So if he's climbing up, let's say, according to the Chazon Ish, 11 amos in height, 11 times 1.9, you're dealing with at least, 21 feet or so, running up 21 feet in the sky, and then guy pushes a friend off of 20 feet. That's two stories. That's pretty dangerous. So he fell, and his foot broke. So once the court saw that this is becoming dangerous, people's lives are in danger. So they made it a takana. They made a new enactment, a new law. No more races. No more first come, first serve. The only way we choose who gets to take the ashes off of the altar is only with a lottery. Only with a lottery, not any other way. Arba payasos hayusham. There are actually four lotteries done during the day in the Beis HaMikdash to choose people for different tasks. This is the first lottery to choose who got to take the ashes off of the altar. So again, the Mishnah said, originally, anyone who wanted to take the ashes off of the altar would be able to do so. So the Gemara asks, but then, right? And then if there was two people who wanted to do it, then they would have a race. And if they came to, they both reached the finish line at the same time, then there'd be a lottery. Asks the Gemara. And then when they saw that it got dangerous, they made an enactment to always have a lottery. Initially, why didn't the rabbis institute a lottery? They did a lottery for other things. Why didn't they institute a lottery also here? Answers the Gemara, Meikara Savar. Initially, they thought, Kevin Avodas Lailahi, since it's service of the night, it's a nighttime activity, taking off the ashes. This is a service of the night. So the Kohanim are not going to consider it so prominent. They're not going to consider it so important. Since they're not going to consider it so important, below us, they're not going to come. They're not going to all rush to come do it. But Kevin, the Chazu, once they saw the Ka'asu, that the Kohanim were coming. And Vasali de Sakana, there was such an interest in doing it that it was becoming dangerous. So then, Kinula Payasa, they instituted to do a lottery. All right, so initially they didn't think that there'd be so much demand for this activity because it's a night activity. People wouldn't consider it. They thought the Kohanim would not consider it a prominent act. It's a night activity. So, says the Gemara, Barei Varm Tarm, but what about taking the limbs and the fats up to the ramp and throwing them into the fire? Davodas Lailahi, that's also a night activity to throw it into the fire. It's Kino Rabban and Paisu. You know that the rabbis did enact a lottery to get to choose who gets to bring the limbs and the fats of the carbon tamach ben arbayim to the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, no, that was sof avodah yamami. That was the end of a day activity. It was the end of a day service. So you had the carbon tamach ben arbayim, which is done by day. Now the end of it is done at night. But this was a night activity. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it's a night activity? This is not the end. True, this is the beginning, though. Hainami, this too, the removing of the ash. It's the beginning of the day service. So they would always consider it prominent. What were they thinking? What were the rabbis thinking? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, if a Kohen washes his hands and feet, because he's going to take the ash off of the altar, lemachar, so then when he gets to doing the service, he doesn't have to again wash his hands and feet. He washed his hands and feet at the beginning of the service. The beginning of the service. That means that the Trumas Hadeshen is the beginning of the day service. The Macha meaning once the sun rose, once it became daylight. No, change what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say he doesn't have to wash his hands and feet again because he already washed his hands and feet at the beginning of the Avoda, Mitchilas Avoda. Ema, read it as Shekvar Kidesh Mitchila Le'Avoda, because he already washed his hands and feet for Avoda. He washed his hands and feet for Avoda. That's going to be of the next day, because he washes it during the night for the removal of the ash. But it's not that he did the, not that this is the beginning of the Avoda. And he already washed his hands and feet for Avoda. And then he doesn't leave the Beis HaMikdash. There's no hefsek. There's no barrier. There's no interruption of this washing. He doesn't have to wash again. Ikadami, another version. Okay, so according to one version, first version, the reason why initially the rabbis didn't enact a lottery for the privilege of who gets to take off the ash, because they thought that Kohanim are not going to think it's such a big deal to take off the ash, because it's a nighttime service. It's not a daytime service. We thought it was the beginning of the day service. It's not the beginning of the day service. It's the night service. Yikadami, others said, Me'ikara, originally Sav, where the rabbis thought, Kivan de'ika ona shena lo asu, to do Trumas Hadesh, as we learned yesterday, is done Bikros HaGever, once the rooster crows. That's the last third of the night. It's hard for people to wake up in the middle of the night. So you're not going to have a lot of demand, a lot of Kohanim running to do this. Who's going to come? One guy who's a tzaddik, he'll come. But most Kohanim are not going to come, because people don't want to wake up in the middle of the night or wake up towards the end of the night. They'd rather sleep through the whole night. But came in the Chazudas, once they saw that there were a lot of Kohanim coming, and then they had the races, and because they're even getting to a danger, because people are pushing each other in the races. Then the rabbis enacted that there should be a lottery. Ask the Gemara. So why didn't they make it a lottery right away? In terms of taking the limbs and the fats of the Tamat Shabbein Arbayim, that's also at night. There also people are tired, they're falling asleep, and right away they made a lottery. The rabbis made a lottery for that right away. So I said, no, there's a difference. Shani Mignami may come. There's a difference between staying awake versus waking up. It's not so hard to stay awake. You're already awake. So stay up more during the night. That's not the end of the world. But to wake up in the middle, that's hard. You're sleeping. Now you have to stop your sleep to wake up. That's harder. So there they thought that people are not going to want to come. They didn't have to make a lottery. Whoever will choose to come, he'll get it. And they saw that it was very popular, so they made the lottery. So Gemara now asks, "Utakanta lahaki sabai? Is it that the takana of the lottery is only for this side? Takanta lahaki sabai? This was a takana also for the other side, wasn't it? The tiny, because didn't we learn in a brisa? If somebody merited to win the right to take off the ash, he would also then be awarded the privilege of arranging the fire, arranging the wood of the fire, and adding the two logs of the day to the fire. So it's one thing to say people aren't so excited about, the thought was that people wouldn't be so excited about Trumas HaDeshen, because they have to wake up for it. They're not so excited for Trumas HaDeshen, because it's a nighttime activity. It doesn't look like a daytime activity. But Trumas HaDeshen is not just Trumas HaDeshen. Whoever wins the right to do Trumas HaDeshen is also arranging the fire, is also adding wood. That's clearly needed for the day. That's clearly something that's happening a little bit later. It's not so inconvenient. So they should have initially enacted a lottery, because if you're doing Trumas HaDeshen, of course it's going to be a popular activity, because people are going to get to do the wood also with Trumas HaDeshen. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi explains, there are actually two enactments. Meikara Savur Lo Asur. Initially, the rabbis thought, Kohanim are not going to come for Trumas HaDeshen for one of two reasons, either because it's a nighttime activity, or it requires them to wake up, and it's hard to get out of sleep. They didn't think they'd be coming. Came in the Chazud the Kasu. But once they saw that the Kohanim were coming to do Trumas HaDeshen, and not only were they coming, races were becoming very competitive. They were even getting into a situation of danger. So then, the rabbis enacted, okay, you have to do a lottery to choose who gets the job. Just one second. So kinu lo paisa. Once they made the lottery, lo asu, people stopped coming. They stopped coming. Lam stopped coming. Why? Ami, they said like this. Mi yema du misramilan. Who says we're going to win the lottery? There's a lot of people going to try. Who says we're going to win? So, number one, it's nighttime. Number two, it's hard to wake up. And number three, even if we would wake up and we'd say we want to do the nighttime thing, we don't have a good chance to win. So forget it. So they stopped doing it. So, what's that?
Gotta be in it to win it.
Gotta be in it to win it, though. That's right. So, then they made a new enactment. They say, listen, it's worthwhile for you to take the chance. The reward is very, very high. They enacted the Mishazach B'Shumas HaDeshen. Anyone who merits to get to do the taking of the ashes off, Yizke B'Sidur Ma'aracha, he's also going to be able to arrange the logs. Uvishnei Gizri Eitzim, and adding the two logs to the fire. Ki'echad HaNesim V'Refaisus, that people should come for the lottery, and we will choose through the lottery who gets to do the ash removal as well as the fire, tending to the fire. Yeah, Izzy, a question.
I'm saying, I'll say something now this morning. Maybe this daf, it's a message to protect what happened in Iran.
Right.
That we have to listen. Here we're listening to the Quranian, here maybe we have to listen. You know, it has to be said.
Oh, and you see also, right, asli de sakana, things can get to a danger. Even if people are excited about doing a mitzvah, things get to a danger, they have to be, it has to be stopped. We have to do things that are safe. We can't do things that might endanger other people. It was man shem merubin, when there'd be a lot of people, then there'd be a race. And the race would be the winner of the race is who got into the four amos first. So Amar Papa Papa explained, chiefly is obvious to me, Arba Amos Da'ara Lo. It's not referring to the four amos right next to the ramp on the floor. Because it said, Ratzin Bolim B'Kevishtan. The Mishnah says they'd run up and ascend the ramp. Kamai Sanami Lo, it's also not the first four amos of the ramp, because it said, again, Ratzin Bolim B'Kevishtan. It said they would run and go up the ramp. Vahadar Kolakodim Eschaveiro. And then it would be, after you go up the ramp, then whomever was there first. The Beni Beni Nami Lo, it's also not the four amos within, you know, in the middle of the ramp. Well, Masaima Milsa, that's not something which is specified, and clearly that's not going to be a way to determine who got it. So, Pshitli, what's clear to me is the God Mizbeach Tznan, that we're talking about the four amos at the very end of the ramp, at the roof. And who gets to there? Boy, Rav Papa asked. But this he wasn't sure about. Arba Amos Shamru, when we said the four Amos, the Hade Ama Yesod V'Ama Sovev, is that together with the Ama of the Yesod and the Ama of the Sovev? So that's actually six Amos away from the roof. Udilma, maybe Bar Me Ama Yesod V'Ama Sovev, or besides the Amma of the Yesod and the Amma of the Sovev. So it's just the last four Amos to the roof. Teku, we were not sure.
The ramp was made out of stone also.
Yeah, the ramp was made out of stone and it was a slope and it went up. It was very long. It was 32 Amos long.
Because the Gova is telling
the height. No, the height was 11 Amos.
Slow.
The height was 11 Amos.
Of the Mizbeach.
Right.
Oh,
the Mizbeach was a square, was a ribua, 32 yeah. Amos long, 32 mm-hmm. Amos wide. The height was 11 Amos. Uh-huh. And the ramp, you know, was basically 30 Amos of length because it went over the Yisod and it went over the Sovev. Those were two Amos and then another two Amos. So it was 32 Amos long, but it ended up swallowing two Amos. So then the Mishnah said, if both of the people racing got there at the same time, then originally the one in charge would say, put out your fingers and let's do the lottery by counting through the fingers to get to the right number. Says the Gemara, Tanu in a Braisa. He used to tell them, Hotzpiu etzpo sechem leminyan, put out your fingers so that we can count. Asks the Gemara, Vinimin alluded to, why don't they just count them? That's a proof to Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak said, you're now to count Jews by their heads. Afil dvar mitzvah, even when you're doing it for a mitzvah. Because it says about Shaul, when he counted his soldiers, vayifkadem bevezek, he counted them with broken pieces of pottery. He counted the broken pieces, didn't count the people directly. Maskefler Ravashi, Ravashi challenges me, Maidahai bezek, Vishnu de mivzek, who, how do you know that the word bezek means broken pieces of pottery? Dilma Shma de Masu, maybe it's the name of the place. Kedachsiv, it says, Vayimtsu es Adoni bezek bevezek, they found Adoni bezek in bezek. El Meach, it's from the following verse, that we see that they count indirectly, because it says that Shaul counted his soldiers, he counted them with sheep. He had them all take the sheep from his and enormous amounts of sheep, and he counted all the sheep to know how many soldiers that there were there. Sort of like Machatzis HaShekel, exactly. Amr Belazar, Belazar said a rule, Kolamonas Yisrael, anyone who counts Jews directly counts the heads of the Jews over Belav. He's violating a prohibition. Shanem, as the verse says, Vayam is Barbani Yisrael, and it will be that the number of the Jews will be Kechol Ayam, like the sand by the sea. Asher Lo Yimad, it cannot be measured. So Asher Lo Yimad is being read, not just that it can't be measured, that it should not be measured. Asher Lo Yimad, that you are not to measure it. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, over Bishnei Lavim, a person would violate two Lavim. Shanem, as it says, Lo Yimad, but Lo Yisafer. So both Lo Yimad and Lo Yisafer. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, Rav Yonasan Rami, Rav Yonasan asked the contradiction. So the one in the pasuk says, "Vayamispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayam," and the number of Israel will be like the sand of the sea. Uksiv, and it says, "Asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer." So it sounds that which cannot be measured cannot be counted. So is there a mispar l'bnei Yisrael? Is there a number, or is it something which can't have a number? The answer is lo kash. It's not a contradiction. Kan bisman shisol osur tono shel makom. This is when the Jews are doing Hashem's will. Lo yimad v'lo yisafer. They can't be counted. Kan when it says vayamispar b'nei Yisrael, there'll be a number to the Jews. Bisman shein osur tono shel makom. We don't do the will of Hashem, and we won't be as numerous. Rabbi Yama, Rabbi said, Mishum Abba Yosef ben Dustai. The name of Abba Yosef ben Dustai. Lo kash. It's not a contradiction. Another answer. Kan bide adam. People can't count. Lo yimad v'lo yisafer. Kan. But vayamispar b'nei Yisrael, b'dei shamayim, in the hands of heaven, God can give a number to the Jewish people. Amar Rav Nihilai bar Idi, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nihilai bar Idi, he said the name of Shmuel. Kevin shenisman adam panas latzibur. You see, from this story about Shaul counting the people with the sheep, that once a person gets appointed as a leader over the community, mit asher, he becomes wealthy. Because Meikar originally, before Shaul was a king, see, as it says, vayivkidem b'dezek, he was counting them with broken pieces of pottery. But afterwards, he counts them with lambs, with sheep. He became very wealthy. Says the Gemara, maybe the sheep weren't Shaul's sheep. Maybe they were the people's sheep. So what's the big deal? If it's the people's sheep, of course, what's the big deal? No, it must be it was his sheep, because he became wealthy. Another thing about Shaul. The verse says that when Shaul went to fight against Amalek, he fought in the riverbed. He fought in the valley. In the riverbed. Amr Rabbani, Rabbani explained, Al Iske Nachal, he was fighting with Hashem on the matters of the river. Because we know there's something called an Egla Rufa. If you find a dead body and you don't know who it is and where it's from, the elders of the nearest city have to come and take a calf to the river. And there they have to chop off the head of the calf and say, Yadinu L'shafko Saddam Azet, we didn't spill this blood. B'shashem Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'shol, when Hashem told Shaul, now go, lechvi kisas amalek, go and kill amalek. Amar Shaul said, umanef shachas, see for one soul. Amar Torah, the Torah says, ave egla rufa, bring the egla rufa. Kol nefesh zalalu, for all these souls. Halachas kama v'kama, certainly. Yim adam achata, and if a person sinned, beimim achata, why did the animals do wrong? Even if the people sinned, why should all the people of Amalek be wiped out? He said, here, for one soul, we have Egla Rufa. So certainly for so many innocent souls, the people of Amalek. Secondly, all right, the people maybe aren't so innocent, but the animals are innocent. Right? And if you say, okay, well, the adult people are guilty. But Ketanim Achati, the children, what did they do wrong? Therefore, Shaul didn't kill them all, and he left alive Agag. Yatza Baskova Amrlo, a voice came out of heaven, and it reverberated and told Shaul, Alti tzaddik harbe. Don't be such a big tzaddik. Don't be a bigger tzaddik than God. Don't think you know better than God. God told you to do something, don't think you know better. There's a big rule. If a person is merachem al ha'achzarim, if someone has compassion on cruel people, so foli hitz achzer al rachmanim, he'll be cruel to the compassionate people. Yeah, for sure. It'll burn you. Shaul had compassion on the people of Amalek, but he didn't have compassion on Kohanim. So he had compassion on the cruel, but not compassion on the merciful.
He had mercy. Didn't he have mercy to the extent that he felt that if he wiped out Amalek, it meant that the Mashiach would then come, which would mean that there would be certain Jews that would not be yoked, would not be included in the Gula. So there's, I forget whose thought that was, but that, you know, as a result, he had kindness for those Jews who would be left behind.
Wow. That's a big limud zchus. That's not the simple reading of this Gemara. This Gemara seems to feel that he made a big mistake.
Right.
And later when Shaul tells Doeg, so turn around, Ata, you, forgot the Kohanim and go kill the Kohanim of the city of Nov. That's a Baskova Amrlo, the voice came out of heaven and told him, Al tir shaharbe, don't be so wicked. In other words, you who were compassionate on the cruel ended up being cruel to the compassionate Kohanim. Rav Huna said, another idea, talking about Shaul versus David. How amazingly secure, without trembling or noticing any danger, is the Gavra de Marisie, the person who Hashem helps him. In other words, if you're fortunate and you just Hashem helps you, you never feel any danger. David HaMelech, he was someone that Hashem was always helping. He never felt anything dangerous. Shaul Ba'acha, Shaul does one sin. He didn't kill Agag. Also, look at the cost that it cost him. It cost him so much. He loses the kingdom. David B'shtayim, David had two sins. And nevertheless, also, he doesn't lose the kingdom. His descendants will come back with Mashiach ben David. Because when you have this, reality of Gavra de Mare Siye, you're a person that the master is helping. When you have a lot of bitachon and trust in Hashem and you're optimistic, it's amazing. Get through anything. Shaul Ba'achas Mai, what was the one sin of Shaul? Maisa da Agag, that he left Agag alive. It's only one sin. Va'ika Maisa de Nov Yerakonim. We know that when David was running away from Shaul, he goes to the city of Nov. They didn't know that he was running away from Shaul. His life was in danger. They gave him food. They gave him Goliath's sword. Shaul then is very upset. He kills out the people of Nov. So it's not only one sin. Where it says no. Am I said Agag siv, just for the one sin of Agag. It says already, Nichamti kim lachti Shaul lemelech. I've regretted having made Shaul as a king. David b'shtayim ma'niu. What were the two sins of David? To Uriah, that he sends Uriah to his death when Uriah refuses to obfuscate or to hide David's sin with Bathsheba. And the second was the Hasata, that in the end of his life David makes the mistake of counting all the Jews directly. Then there's a plague. Said the Gemara, you cannot rise to Bathsheba. One second, there's also the sin with Bathsheba, sleeping with a married woman. No, Hasam Ifrumine. There, David didn't get away with it. There, David ends up getting punished. The Chesiv, as it says, Vesakiv, so Yishalem Arbatayim, the lamb, you should pay four times the amount. So for Bathsheba, he was punished with four punishments. Yelet, the child of Bathsheba, died. Amnon and Tamar. Amnon, his son, rapes his daughter Tamar, his daughter. And that was a terrible event. And then Avshalom, who rebels against him. So Gemara says, no, but Hasam Nam, even with the sin of counting the Jews, Ifruine, he was punished. It's not that he got away with it. It says, V'itin Hashem dever b'Yisrael me'aboker v'ad eis moed. Hashem placed the plague on the Israelites. Hasam lo Yifro migufe. There, the people suffered, but David's own body didn't suffer. Really? But Hasam Nam lo Yifro migufe. But with the events of Bathsheba, David's body's not suffering. He loses a son. His children rebel, but his body's not suffering. I said, no, lie, in truth, if Romy Goofy, his body did suffer then. I'm reviewed him a Rav, reviewed us the name of Rav. Because David slept with Bathsheba, Shisha Chadash Mitzdara David, for 6 months David had Saras. Uparshim and his Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin stayed away from him. And his Stalke, and his Shechina, the divine presence left him. It says, Yeshuvu li Reach of Yodei Dosecha, in the chapter of David's tshuva, he says, they should return to me, those who fear you and those who know your testimonies. Even he says, I want Ruach HaKodesh again. He says, return to me the joy of your salvation. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rav, didn't Rav say, Kibil David Lashon Hara? David had another sin. And David accepts Lashon Hara against Mephibosheth, the son of Shaul, from Tziva, from Mephibosheth's slave. Says the Gemara, no. This Gemara is following Shmuel. So Amar Lo, Kibil David Lashon Hara, that David did not do the sin of accepting and believing Lashon Hara. With Rav Nam, and even according to Rav, Damar David Kibul Lashon Hara, said that David did accept Lashon Hara. Ha'ifrumine, but there he was punished. It's not one of the sins that he gets away with. There he was punished right away. Damar Rav Yudam Rav, because Rav Yudam said in the name of Rav, B'shashem lo David Mephibosheth, Amar Tiyatav Tziva Tzchalkos Asadeh. At the moment that David told Mephibosheth, you and Tziva are going to divide up the field, Yatzabaskov Amalo, a voice came out of heaven and told him, David, you divided up the field of Mephibosheth illicitly. So your kingdom is also going to be divided. Rechavam, your grandson, will have to split it with Yeravam from the tribe of Ephraim. Yeravam ben Nevat. All right, talking about Shaul. The verse says, Ben Shana Shaul b'molcho. Shaul was a year old when he ruled. It's impossible, he's not a year old. Rav Huna said it means that he had this advantage of being Kiben Shana. He was like a one-year-old. Like a one-year-old doesn't know sin. Shaul hadn't tasted any sin. Askel of Nachmer Yitzchak, I saw that in the back, the Shaul Meshiv. Yosef Shaul Natanson quotes in the name of the Chovos Halvavos that maybe the pshat of Shaul was being like a one-year-old is that he wanted to take advantage of the limited time. When you say you have like a one-year window to accomplish something, so you know after that year you won't be able to do it. So you want to take advantage of the time. Shaul was the person who had that sense, want to take advantage of the time, take advantage of that 1 year. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, "Ve'ema, why don't you say when it says that he was a 1 year old, it means convention he was like a 1 year old. Like a 1 year old is dirty with filth and with mud. Maybe Shaul was dirty with sins. Rav Nachman Siyuta B'chalmei. So as a punishment for Rav Nachman's proposal that Shaul wasn't so righteous, they showed him a nightmare in his dream. In his dream, they were angels scaring him. Amar Si said, okay." I misspoke, Shaul. I apologize. Na'anesi lachem. I spoke against you, and I was wrong in doing that. Atzmo Shaul ben Kish. You, the remains of Shaul ben Kish. But he didn't even refer to him as king. So here he's apologizing for being disrespectful, having proposed that Shaul was a sinner, and that's why he was punished with a nightmare. But he doesn't even refer to Shaul as the king. So hadar chazei siyuta b'chami. So the next night again, there was a big nightmare in his dream. So Amar said, then he said, Na'anesi lachem atzmo Shaul ben Kish melech Yisrael. Okay, I misspoke. I spoke too harshly to you, the remains of Shaul ben Kish, king of Israel. I'm Rav Yudah Mashmuel. Rav Yudah's the name of Shmuel. Name Alon Nimshach Malchus Beishol. Why didn't Shaul's kingdom last? He answers with Peish Loya Boshum Dofi. His family was perfect. There were no flaws in the family. Whereas David HaMelech, he comes from Rus. There's a whole question. Maybe he wasn't even allowed to come into the community. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Mishum Ben Yotzadok. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Rabbi Mishum Ben Yotzadok." Okay, Mamid and Paris Latzibu. You only appoint as a leader a person. Elim Ken Kupa Shal Shratzim Tuliyom Mayachorav. Only somebody who has a box of rodents on his back, so that if he becomes too arrogant, they say to him, "Well, look at where you came from. Look at the rodents." Shim Tazuach Dai to Olav. If he becomes arrogant, Omer Lo Chazor La Acharecha. Go look back to where you came from. So David HaMelech, he was never too arrogant. Go look back where you came from. You came from Rus. Why was Shaul punished? The answer is Shemachal al Kvodo. Right? Why was he punished that he ended up sinning and losing the kingdom? Because from the very beginning, when he was appointed as king, he was too submissive. He forgave his own honor. Now he's a Talmud Chacham. He should have stood up for the honor of the Torah. Shneimar says this when he was being appointed. Amru, the wicked one said, "My Yoshini Zeh, how is this one going to save us?" And they embarrassed him. They wouldn't give him a present. And he made himself quiet. And the verse says, Rabbi Yochanan said, "You learn from this whole discussion." A Talmud Chacham who doesn't take revenge or bear a grudge like a snake is not a Talmud Chacham because he's not respecting the Torah that he has. So Shaul, by allowing people to be disrespectful to him, wasn't respecting the Torah that he had. That's why he ended up losing. He lost the whole kingdom. Says the Gemara, what do you mean the Talmud Chacham has to be revengeful and vindictive? Vaksiv, doesn't the Torah say, lo tikom v'lo titor? You're not allowed to take revenge, you're not allowed to bear a grudge. Says the Gemara, u b'mamonu d'chsiv. That's only referring to when people are not nice to you with money. They don't lend you their stuff, so don't bear a grudge and refuse to lend to them your stuff. But if they offend you, if they hurt you, your person, they disrespect your Torah, then you should bear a grudge. The Tanya's learned in a Braisa, Ezri Nakim, Ezri Natira, what is revenge? What is bearing a grudge? Nakim Amar Lo Ashileni Magalcha, if you said to him, lend me your sickle, Amar Lo Lav, he said, no, I won't lend it to you. Lamacha, the next day, Amar Lo, he says to you, Hashlini Kardumcha, lend me your axe. Amar Lo Eini Mashilcha, Kederach Shlo Yishaltani, I'm not going to lend to you because you didn't lend to me. So in Nakima, that is revenge. Ezri Natira, what's bearing a grudge? Amar Lo Ashileni Kardumcha, he said to him, lend me your axe. Amar Lo, he said to him, Lo, no. Lamacha, the next day, Amar Lo, he said to him, Hashlini Chulcha, lend me your robe. Amar Lo, he said, listen, hey, look, here it is. Eini Kamosla, because I'm not like you. Shlo Yishaltani, because you wouldn't lend to me, but I'll lend to you. So in Natira, that is bearing a grudge. But that's only about property, not about the person. So it's like, really, if it's hard to go for low, is it true that about personal pain, you are allowed to take revenge and bear a grudge? But time didn't learn a brisa. Now, love and vainim olvim, those who get offended, but they don't offend back. They hear all their disgrace, and they don't respond. Osim me'ava, those are people who serve God out of love. Usmechem yisurim, they rejoice in the difficulties. Alena Kasav Omer, about them, the verse says, Vo'av of those who love God, or Kitzei Sashanash Brigvur Aso, or it's like the sun coming down in all of its power. So the Gemara says, you're right, they didn't do anything back. But Lo'olam Danakale Belibe. But the Talmud Chacham, he himself doesn't take any steps back. But he does feel something in his heart, and when somebody else avenges his honor, he's happy. Ayvama Rava, but didn't Rava say, Kolam Avril Midosa Mavir Lo Kol Shav? Anybody who overlooks what is due to him, all of his sins will be overlooked. Says the Gemara, that's the Mephias Le Mephias. If the person apologizes, the Talmud Chacham should accept the apology. But if the guy doesn't apologize, the Talmud Chacham should be Nokim Venoter Kenachash. He should be upset for the sake of the Torah. He's not going to do anything himself. If others do on his behalf, he feels good about that. Ad Kan, Tav Chazkir.